All right, Father, I just want to thank you today for this day. Father God, I thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for the people that are elsewhere worshiping you, Father God. And Lord, just keep us safe this week as we go out. Father God, let us be the light. Lord, I pray over the service today. I pray over the word. Father God, those that are just coming to us or coming to you, Father God, hear your voice today, Father God. Feel your heart. Know your love, Father God, and come to you. Father God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grazie, Jake. Appreciate it. So we're in episode 10 of The Hard Road. I want us to ponder what Paul says that God's word says. Because a lot of times we can have arguments and debates and opinions, but ultimately it's God's word that prevails, right? Because who's in charge? God. That's one. God's in charge. He can do what he wants to. I want you to ponder what it says about salvation today. Like this is where this chapter is leading us. And you hear that term saved, I'm saved, you're saved, you're saved, are you saved? And you know what it means? Like, well, yeah, I can, if you want to talk to me personally, Pastor Bach, I do. It means this, to be redeemed from eternal cursedness, right? As a combo word between being rescued and redeemed. It's weird to come up and say, are you redeemed? Hey, I've been rescued from what, you know? Well, Jake, one of the things you've been rescued from, right? Get your hand up. We know what God's redeemed us from, but he's done more than that. And so today is one of those weird Sundays that you get to check your own salvation. Like, check it for real, because it matters. Got to check ourselves. How many consider yourselves born-again Christians? I follow Jesus, my Lord and Savior, disciple. He's the Lord of my life. He's that guy. All right. So you think, well, how's that going to apply to me? I don't know. Let's see how it may apply to you. Maybe you've given your life, and you turned it around from a mess, right? Anybody who was a mess, and God came in, unmasked you a little bit. But that seemed like a hard part. Didn't that seem hard? You lost something. I believe here's a new hard part coming for those of us that are saved. Can we continue to give him our lives now that things are good? Now that we're blessed and we got a good plan, is he still Lord of anything? Like, could he say, no, you're going to Samoa for 3 months. No, you're going to East Africa driving with a bunch of teenagers. Father, help them. But what can't he ask you anymore? I'm not saying he's going to ask for that. That's always the fear, right? You're like, don't even look into my soul right now. You don't even know what I'm thinking. No, I'm not saying he's going to ask for that. But can he? And if he can't, we got lost somewhere along the lines, right? I've had good plans. Here's Hard Road, episode 10, Are You Saved? Romans 10:1. Ready? Dear brothers and sisters, I'm gonna slow roll, speed up. You're gonna be like, Pastor, I need extra pay for being back here in the booth today. Give him an extra cookie, somebody. Dear brothers and sisters, say love your people. Love you. If you don't love your people, remember, Paul's been talking to his people. He said, I'm burdened for my people. I'd give my whole life for my people. I wish my people knew you, Lord. If you have people, you should love your people. Now all your people are, I don't know about you, but all my people that I consider people in my life, they're not all serving God. Anybody? I love some people. Paul's talking to the Christians, but I think he's talking to your people. The longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for this. I stop there because his prayer isn't like our prayers. His prayer is not, dear God, more money, more money, more money. There's nothing wrong with that. I pray for more money prayers. I know where I'd spend it. You're sitting in it. It's a leaky ark, you know. But my prayer is often more money. How about for a good long life? For health? Ever pray for good long life? For your kids? Yeah. It wasn't even for a church building. He wasn't praying for more money. He wasn't praying for the church building. He wasn't praying for a long life. This is what he said. My prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. So I am the church. What is your prayer to God currently mostly for? Seriously, when you spend time with God, what is 80% of your prayer life? More, please, I need, and there's nothing wrong going to Father who's the source of us. But honestly, if you're honest, isn't most of our prayer life about us? Come on. Most of our prayer life is about us or blessing somebody, bless somebody we love. But how much is for the lost? How much focus on the lost, not even like, well, I'm going for East Africa. No, I'm talking about the lost, your cousin. I'm talking about your jacked up cousin. I don't like that guy no more, me either, but you got to pray for him. I mean, how often are we burdened for the people we love that we put prayer time in for their salvation versus, Lord, I need a new AC unit? I know it's a hard road, and this is not an easy chapter, and you don't have to deal with me next week. I'm going to be in Alaska. I'll be eating fresh something. I don't know. We better be eating something good. But my prayer at times mostly focuses on myself, stuff, but rarely on lost people. So I thought now would be a good time for a mini recap, right? Let's just do a recap. What we've got so far for we've got about 12, 13 points. Let's just put a few up to recap. Don't be distracted from seeing the obvious. Ever have that happen? Be distracted by seeing the obvious, a sleight of hand. The enemy's over here trying to get you to do this, you know? You're talking to your kid about picking up the room, and they're mad at you before you know it. You're fighting about something you did. Like, man, the point was you need your room clean. I've been distracted. Ever been so distracted that you can't see the obvious right in front of you? Anybody? Me. You just squirrel? You know? Here's another mini truth. God is the know-it-all. He knows it all. He knows who's going to accept him, who he's created for, what their purpose is. He knows it all. And God, this is the hard part. There's a hard truth. We don't like this. We're American. Some of our temperaments are stubborn. Anybody stubborn? I'm stubborn. Don't tell me what to do. Even if it's good for me, don't tell me. I want to choose it. And if you tell me, I might not do it. Anybody want to raise your hand for that? America. God will do as he pleases. God will do as he pleases. He can do and will do whatever he wants to do, and that's okay with me. Miss Blanche, is that okay with you? It's okay with Miss Blanche. How about this one? Your praise of him is required. It matters. Your praise of him is required. It matters. Prayer for fill in the blank matters too. Like our prayer lives, I think this is the year we're going to amp up our worship individually in prayer. Like, not Sunday morning, like I worship. Then there's a difference. I'm off the stage already. You guys are in trouble. There's a difference between having worship on in your car all the time and worship on in your home all the time and actually worshiping. I've been in worship all day. No, you haven't. You've been cleaning the house. That's awesome. You could have been listening to Bon Jovi. Nothing wrong with it, but you chose worship. It's cool. But it's not the same as worshiping. Where you stop your life and those words are poured out to heaven and you're waiting to hear from heaven and you're hoping to connect with God. How often do we do that every day? He's trying. He's getting us. If you love somebody, you want to be with them every day. God's going to change some things this year in our lives. He's going to mess us up in a good way. Pray for the lost more this month than you ever have before. Romans 10, 2 through 3. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. They're enthusiastic, but it's misdirected. They don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. I know you're interactive today, especially for visitors. You'd be like, man, this is your workout. This is your bicep workout today, you know. Did the gospel, did Jesus' sacrifice ever seem foolish to you at one time? Did it ever seem foolish? Like, that's crazy. So God sent his son to do what for me? That's maybe. Ever feel crazy to you? Foolish to you, that story? And all of a sudden, God walked into your life, and all of a sudden, you're now foolish for him? Yeah. I was a rebel. Natural born rebel. Embraced the role. Loved my rebelness. Better to burn out than to fade away. Hoorah to the grave. And Jesus stepped in. And it changed everything. I was misdirected, right? They don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's ways. Refusing. Not like I'll check it, but refusing. You know any unbelievers right now in your brain that are in that refusing God's category? Like refusing. I have friends like, don't bring Jesus to me. If you already told me, I don't want to hear that. You know any refusers? They're absolutely refusing. Anybody put your hand up? I want some refusers. Pray for them. Whoever that is right now, That's a prayer focus this month. Whoever's the refusers in your life, pray for them. I'm not saying go preach to them. Go be Jesus and use words if you have to. Go be Jesus and use words if you have to. Pray for them. But you know any believers who refuse to accept God's way? You know it's obvious to you. Like, hey, man, every time you go to Stinky's, you get lit. And you come home and you got to repent the next. Every Saturday morning, you're hungover. Yeah, but I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Jesus is okay. And every Saturday, every single time. So look, this is a mess. You can't see the obvious in your life. You're a mess and you can't see it because you're so busy pretending you're not a mess. And it's obvious to me. You know any believers like that? Man, I do. And I love them. You know what we should do this month for them? Pray for them. Why? It matters. Someone was praying for us when I was stinky. Refusing to accept God's ways, they cling to their own way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Say this with me. Our way, es no bueno. Our way es no bueno. It's no good. I almost, because we're short on staff, because Dr. Heidi might have lost it, but if I would have known she was teaching kids, I would have probably done it. I was going to play some Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way, you know, a little Go Your Own Way, but here you go. Going your own way in the end, it always creates the same mess. Ready to talk with me again? Say your way. Don't do it. Don't do your way. I mean, you got to get tired of your way. Your way ended up you in a mess, and he called out to him, and he's like, I got it from here. Ever do that? I'm better, God. I'm not addicted to this no more, and I got my way. I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I know exactly, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to bless it. Do this. I'm going to do this, and you bless it. He's like, no, man, I don't work for you. God's like, you're misdirected. I don't work for you. If you love me, you actually work for me. So it's like you're an employee. Ever have your own business, anybody? Your employees like to come tell you what to do all the time. You ought to do this. Look, man, forget it. Get out of my office. Jake's like, get out. I love you. Get out of my office or you're not going to get a paycheck. You work for me. God's maybe deserves that same kind of respect. And sometimes as believers, we just think he works for us because he's our divine slot machine in the sky. Pray enough. Boom, bingo, blessed. No. I don't work for you. For Christ, verse 4. For Christ has already accomplished that purpose. I'm grateful. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, as what Jesus did, as a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Now here's where Christianity makes a mess of everything. That's the point. That is the main point. That is almost the only point. What about this? And the church says, what about the millennials? What about, you know, pre, post, mid? What about Revelation? What about heaven? What about hell? If you miss that point, that it's just God, Jesus did it for you. If you miss that point, you're never going to get any other point. He alone makes us right. He alone. That's the point. And you have to believe. And he's going to break into what's that look like to believe, to be saved, to be rescued, to be redeemed. Romans 10, 5 through 8. For Moses writes, more OT in the new T, you know. The whole word of God's importante. Do you want to say it in Spanish with me? I know you do. Say importante. No, importante. It's muy, muy importante. The whole word of God is muy importante. Writes the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by it. Like, if you really believe it, you live by it. You know, obviously, I believe in carbs. I live by it. It can be seen in my life. You know, that's pasta right there. Boy, that's bread. I live by it. But I hope I get other things I live by, too, that are seen in my life that need to be seen. Right? But the righteousness based on faith, which produces... Faith which produces. Faith is supposed to produce things. A right relationship with him says the following. Now remember this. The Roman church got to be careful because he's getting on to them right here. This is that. They, not to us. He is getting onto they. This, he's writing to the Romans, right? Just the Romans. So don't be offended and anything. It's like, he's writing the Romans, tearing the Romans up, Ms. Blanche. There goes Paul, getting busy. They must have needed it. So here they go. Paul says, do not say in your heart who's going to ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we had to be saved by our own efforts, doing the impossible. He's like, you guys are always debating. But what does it say? What does God's word say? He says, but what does it say? In this debate, I believe in this. What does God's word say? Well, what does God's word say? Stop basing your life on TikTok, Facebook, and your own grand opinion. Say, I'm the church. He's only talking to the Romans, so don't worry about it. It's just not you guys. The word, what does it say? The word is near you. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with that. Right? Fill us with that. That is the word, the message, the basis of our faith, which we preach. If you consider yourself the church, I want you to close your eyes a second. And put your hand on your heart. And say this with me. Father, fill me again. Fill me again. Don't stop saying it till you feel it. Like that, make that a real prayer, not something Pastor Sean's asking you to do. I could drop the mic and baptize Dee Dee at any point in time. But if you need a fresh infilling from the Holy Spirit in your life, ask Him. It's the season. You need that. This next verse is probably the most important verse of all verses in the whole Bible. That's a big statement. This might be the most important verse of everything that's written. Right in the middle of the hard road, He drops one of the most important verses, Romans 9, 10 through 10. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing His power, His authority, and majesty as God, and you believe that in your heart deeply, that God raised Him from the dead. If you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing His power, His authority, and majesty as God, and you believe it in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be redeemed. You will be rescued. For with the heart, a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in justification. Being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin. Isn't that nice? To be freed of the guilt of sin? Man, one of the beautiful things that I get to see probably in our clinic, when people actually, for the very first time, confess something and you see the weight come off their souls. It's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. Someone that held something their whole life and it comes off their soul and they know not only they confessing it to Jesus, but now it's out there to be dealt with carefully and kindly, and you see a lightness. Do you ever experience that? Have you ever experienced that kind of weight come off your soul? Because if you haven't, I don't know if you're saved. He wants to remove weights from your soul. There's things you need to be redeemed from. If you've not been redeemed from anything, then you don't need a Savior. A rescuer. Being made righteous, being free of the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God. With the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly. See, faith is supposed to be heard and seen by all. It's supposed to be seen in your bedroom. It's supposed to be seen in your living room. It's supposed to be seen in your front yard. It's supposed to be seen at Walmart. And on the 60. And on the 60. Maybe not the 202, but the 60. With the mouth, we acknowledge and confess our faith openly, resulting in confirming the salvation. What does that mean? All that just you get jumbled up. It's one of those things you read a couple times. He's saying all that is proof of your salvation. What do you mean proof? Have you acknowledged? Have you really acknowledged what you did and what you are doing and what you have a trouble with? Have you acknowledged that? Have you confessed that? And then do you live privately and publicly the same? Is your heart believing and engaged? Is Jesus still first? I mean, he's talking to the church. Like, this wasn't like, hey, go preach this down in New Orleans in the French Quarter. Go to Fremont in Vegas. If you don't know, you shouldn't know. Trevor goes, but just saying. Romans 10, 11 through 13. For the scripture says, say, I love his whole word. I love his whole word. I love it. The Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same God. It's all his word. Paul keeps going back to the Old Testament. I know a lot of believers, disciples that I love today, won't read the Old Testament because that's the Old Covenant. Yeah, it's the whole word of God, and you're lacking in your life if you don't have it. There are men of God there that will inspire you, that you're so close with. You want to be one of the disciples? Think about Abraham. Right? There are things God can teach us, and Paul pulls out the scripture. Whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, whoever trusts in, whoever relies on him will not be disappointed. Adhering is tough. Following no matter what when it looks really hard. Like, Lord, I don't want to walk through the valley of shadow of death. Can I go around it? Can I fly over it? Can I get an Uber? Walk through it? Great. I'll adhere to you. How about trust in? Give what? Yeah, that's my money. That's my time. That's my last piece of cheesecake. Whoever believes, adheres, trusts, and relies on him will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. That rocked them right there. It's a small statement to us, but that's saying, hey, the Gentiles have free access to God now, and you better suck it up and take it. Some of y'all don't even know him yourself. Paraphrase. Obviously, Paul didn't say suck it up. He would have sucketh up it or something like that. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is the Lord over all of us. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he is abounding in riches, blessings for all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's my thought. The call on him is, yeah, you're desperate, need a prayer thing, call on him. But when you are desperately in love and you need so badly, you call on him. Ever been in that place you're calling on God? I have a physical, where she's going to punch me in the nose. Is Juliana working with the kids? Oh, baby. I didn't even get to see the picture. But this is every Sunday, every time I, in the midst of worship, we're having a moment with God, I see this, and it shows me a picture of what it looks like to be abandoned. That's sincerely abandoned. You don't got to get on your knees in the front. That's not about that. That's about a heart. I know that heart. That's not comfortable. She hates that pictures up. She's like, Pastor, take that down. I will never make you another bracelet again. Take it down. Right now. You can take it down because I love Juju. But how often is our heart in that posture? Most times, come follow me, God, as I follow you. Hey, God, do this nifty little thing for me and this nifty little thing. And actually, the thing you told me I don't want to do, I don't want to do that. Yeah, that sounds like a lot like our prayer life, isn't it? God's trying to fix that a little bit. He's looking for us to call on him. Why? Because if you call on him and you rely on him and you trust in him and you adhere to him, you will be saved. But it's not a magical prayer. I prayed once on my knee. I accept Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for everything you've done. Espiritu Santo. Amen. Like, that's not salvation. Salvation is saying, I know who I was. And I believe he alone cleansed me from all that and redeemed me. And now I will attach myself to him forever. He is my forever God, forever Lord. And what he says, I'm a dead man. We're going to leave a dead Dee Dee in the pool today. She's going underneath. She died before this, though. But do we call on him? Is he our source? Romans 10, 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Another purpose for organized church is coming up because most people are anti-organized church. And sometimes church is too organized because say, I am the church, right? We are the church. But organization matters sometimes because it's a character check place. It's a moral gift check place, right? It's a proving ground. Say, I am the church and I go to church. I am the church and I go to church. Let me prove that. How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Say, me. Who's going to tell them? I am the church, right? How can they hear unless I tell them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Uh-oh, there's a conflict for our independent spirit. Don't send me. I'll go where I want. I heard the Holy Spirit. I'll do it. Don't tell me. I'm definitely prepared. I'm ready for this. How many people I've seen? I'm ready for this. Get slaughtered in ministry. I went to Bible school. Good luck, bro. Bible school don't prepare you for pastoring. It prepares you to break down the word, but it don't prepare you for pastoring. It doesn't. How will anyone tell them unless being sent? See what sent means? It's that word. I broke it down. And there's two Hebrew words that smashed together. And it means this. Approved of, sent means this. Approved of, tested and tried, living and speaking as truth. God has proven grounds in our lives. Like when you first get to a job and your boss sees you working hard as a proving ground. Can this person do the job? How's their character? How are they under pressure? All those little things, God's working. Why? Because he wants to be able to send us out, because I guarantee if he sends you to do a thing, there's pressure coming. Why? Because there's an enemy, an adversary. And so the church is a place that we go, hey, you know what? Came in stinky, real stinky. I remember some of y'all come walking in here. I thought, oh no, here comes Satan. He's coming to get saved. What's God going to do? And I see some of these men of God give their lives, and it blows my mind what God can do. And they've come in, and I see them, and now they're guys that pray and open up service. Now they're working usher teams, or now they're bringing their kids to church. Because they put themselves in that, like, a process of, I got to prove to pass so I can work. No, their life proved that they know him, and they're not perfect, only one Jesus. But their life's proven over the course of time, I've seen you. I know you. I can trust you. You do have my back. You do love God. No one's perfect. That's where the church puts off that fake image all the time. There's only one Jesus. Say, only one Jesus. Only one Jesus. The rest of us fall way, way, way short. Barato, short. Muy, muy short. I'm going to stay here all day. We're going to be here till noon. You're coming up with the word. Short? Cuarto? Cuarto. She's like, yeah, Pastor, whatever. You make up something, move on. Cuarto. Today's like, you just said a quarter of milk. What's he talking about? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Pray for the senders and the goers. We got Miley out there in Africa. Pray for her. I want to read verse 15 again in the Amplified. I'm repeating it. I know. And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I broke commission down in the two Hebrew words. Commissioned or sent come from the word apo and stelo. Apostello. If you put those together, you have apostle. But it's apostello. Two words for those who are sent. To set apart and be separate. For God to use you and send you out, he's trying to separate you from what you used to be, what you used to do. And he's also trying to separate you to himself. And no one wants to go through that process. It's an important process to really know God. There's a separation. There are things that I had to separate myself from because they were dragging me away from God every time I was near him. Anybody have that problem? Dragging me. Like, I can't go to the club anymore, stinky. Why? Because I always, every Sunday morning, I got my face at the altar going, I do it again. Thank you that you love me. Can't do it anymore. I got to separate myself. The sent means to be put in order. No one likes to be put in order. You like to go to the chiropractor? Yeah, I do too. Crack me up, Doc. He hates when I say, I'm not cracking your spine. Yes, you are. No, I'm adjusting your vertebrae. Same thing. Crack it up. Put me in order. Why? Because when I'm out of order, even though I've been living my life my way, living out of order, I get a little funky, you know? And sometimes you got to get into a place as the church to help someone put you in order. That's not easy. It means to equip, to prepare, to withdraw for special purpose. So when you see that word sent, it means apostello. He wants to send us. And that's what it looks like to be sent. So it's time to get into alignment so you can be prepared to go. What if he sent you somewhere? What if what you were meant to do actually is your neighbor right next door? What if what you were meant to do is just right outside of your grasp and always waiting for you to do is surrender your life to him and let him work with you, apostello. Sharpen you, equip you, train you, raise you up, send you out to do his mission. Why? Because it's getting short. I don't know if you noticed that. Romans 10:16. I told myself, don't linger. There's a baptism. Thank you, past me. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who's believed your message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, faith comes from hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask you, have the people of Israel actually heard? Have they heard? Has everyone heard? The next statement. Here, he's going to answer, honey. You ready? He says, yes, they have. He says, yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. That should put your mind to wondering, is Judgment Day closer than you thought it was? I'm not sitting in panic and the whole, you know, nonsense, you know. But it seems to me it's not only definitely closer than it was then, because Paul talked about in the other chapter, say, there's a day coming. Don't be afraid of it. If you know me, don't be afraid. But it is coming. There is a judgment coming. He said, I don't know when, but it's coming. People, anytime it predicts it, it's coming here. I always go, no, it's not. Why? Because you said it is. You know how I know it's coming? Because there's robots coming to take over the earth. I know. Dr. Huddy shows me the TikToks every night. Listen, I lived in the Terminator generation. I am John Connor. You know what else taken over the earth recently? I've been made aware of as well. Aliens. Aliens are taking over and robots. You know, they're in. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know there's a judgment coming. And I know I have to be prepared for it. And I know if I'm not prepared for it, there might be someone else who never gets to know Jesus because I wasn't ready to prepare myself to be sent to him. And it didn't matter enough. You can't say either you love them as your people and they don't matter enough. Our prayer for the lost this season has to be amped up. And yes, pray for a building. I would like that too. So if we the church, we got praise to give him and work to do, right? Romans 10:19. But I asked, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will. Be careful when he says things like that, because if he says he will, then he will. I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I'll provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. If you're a foolish Gentile, you can raise your hand. There you go. If you're not Jewish, you are a foolish Gentile. Okay. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who are not even looking for me. I showed myself to those who are not asking. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I kept my arms open to you. But they were disobedient and rebellious. They were God's people. Are you God's people? How's your disobedience and rebellious going? Like, how you doing? On a scale from 1 to 10, like, where are you at? It's tough. But I feel like he's poking all of us individually. You're uncomfortable lately with something? This is not sitting right. You feel, like, awkward. You can't find comfort anywhere. He is poking at something in our lives, preparing us for something more. I can feel it in the air. It's agitating out there. You know, it's provoking. I made a new quest on Saturday nights. I don't know when I send out prayer, but when I send out prayer for Saturday nights, I'm asking you to pray for every individual in this worship team. Why? Because you think you're in a spiritual battle Saturday nights, Monday mornings, am I right? Fight for each other. This is the season we fight, we pray. The loss come into our hearts and our lives. And so here's my close. We need the Holy Spirit to help us with that. I have a hard time obeying simple things without Him. Like really simple things. Like don't eat the rest of that Twinkie. But it's a waste. There's children in Uganda that could use it. Well, they're not here right now, and you don't need the calories. You should never bought the package. Holy Spirit, help me. I tried to. I sent Kirsten, and she said no. Stop it. Holy Spirit, please help me, though. There's some serious things that we need help with. I mean, some people are struggling. One of the worst things I think that happened in our culture for men, being deadly honest, and women do, and for different reasons. I think women get distracted by it, but men are being fished for with it, is current phone technology. Current phone technology, man, it's after, it's trying to kill the men of God. They need the Holy Spirit. If you know a man of God, pray for them. Why? Because there's a battle that they are not winning. I'm a professional counselor. I can tell you they're not winning. And that makes us uncomfortable. But isn't it time we win? Isn't it time we win? Like there's a way to change that. You know, there's a way to change. If you need to go back to a flip phone, go. If you need to give your wife a phone, then go. If you are like on your phone and you never spend time with the one you love, then you love your phone more than one you love. It's a distraction. I'm not saying phones aren't great. I like to know what the weather is in Anchorage. I need to know if the Sixers got somebody else this week. Go Sixers. But sometimes it's this vacuous pour that steals for our time and pours garbage into our soul. We need the Holy Spirit for that. How about the Holy Spirit for like, I got to go to my neighbor and ask him to forgive me. Why? Because I was pretty loud and obnoxious. Well, he's always loud and obnoxious. Yeah, but I'm talking to you. You're my son. He's not. He's not my son. Go over there, humble yourself. Humble myself. He was wrong. I know. I walked all the way to the cross carrying all the wrong. I carried all the wrong. I know what it means to be dishonorably assaulted. I feel like he's maturing us this year. We did Romans the hard road. I go, oh, what are we going to do? Like, that's what, like, you, the church was Easter Sunday, 2:20. We were packed at no place to sit. I go, oh, what are we going to do? We got to have to get a new building, get new chairs. I don't know what to do. And Dr. Huddy was nervous about it. I go, don't worry, I'm preaching in Romans. Well, that'll thin us out. Yeah. Thin us right out. You know, Romans 1, like, there goes half the church. Okay. I didn't write it. He did. This is Paul. I'm just quoting Paul, who's quoting God. You leaving anyways? You offended? Okay. Like, we got to stop with that. We're so easily offended by dumb stuff. So easily distracted by dumb stuff. But we're the church. We're His plan. We're His purpose. I believe He's going to start putting plan and purpose in your life like never before. I believe He's going to come into your life with plan and purpose and press things into your life. Because He's a good dad. And good dads make unpopular rules, but good dads have good plans. The plans to prosper you and to do you good. So I want to know if you would do me a favor today. We're going to talk about a surrendered heart, a redeemed heart. And that's the point today. Would you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if He's never been welcomed to your life to say, Lord, forgive me. Take away it all. I'm your guy. I'm your girl. If you've not done that, you're welcome to do that today. And I want you to grab myself, Pastor Justin, Dr. Heidi, Pastor Sharon, grab somebody today and have a conversation with them. And if you got so stirred up, you're like, I want to get baptized. I've never been baptized because here's my baptism spiel. And I can say it because Dee Dee and I have the same story. So I can share Dee Dee's dirty laundry in mine too. I was baptized first in the Roman Catholic Church as a little baby. Yeah, little baby. Do you know how much confession I did then? How much acknowledgement as Lord and Savior that choice was for me? You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ without making a choice. And if you've never chosen baptism on your own to say, I'm going to die to me as a symbol of following Jesus Christ in no other way, I'm not turning back, I am all in. If you've never done that, and it just happened when you were a toddler, I'm going to ask you to pray. Because it needs to be publicly done, confessed out of your mouth. I didn't confess much out of my mouth as a six-month-old baby. But boy, when I got baptized at 19, I had a whole heck of a lot to say. I had a lot of stuff to repent for. And it changed my life. Dee Dee's going to make a stance today. She's already changed her life. God's already been moving. She goes, I'm going to make myself a declaration today, Pastor. I'm going to get baptized. And so would you join me in celebrating her? And if you want to get baptized, come out and stand in line and I'll talk with you. I got 4 minutes with Dee Dee and I need someone to go in with me. Where's Panda Bear? Kids, all right. Shy, you available? All right. Shy and Dee Dee, if you'll meet me in my office, and then we'll go get ready for baptism. Sound good? I'll pray you the rest of you guys out. If you don't want to stay, that's cool. I promised you'd get a cookie. You should get one before he leaves. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing at New Season and what you're doing all over the earth. Forgive me where I'm rebellious and disobedient. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill us again, that we could be the church with our mouth and with our hands. And our hearts, Father, would be engaged fully. In Jesus' name, the church said amen.